Well, good evening. We are truly indebted by the God of heaven for this privilege on tonight to be assembled as one body, His church, to study His word, to sing praises unto our God, and to edify one another. I'd like to thank you all again for being here on this night and for the assembly, the elders, and the wonderful work that they do here, for Brother Michael and Brother Brian and Brother Doug and their participation here in this wonderful congregation. Ever since I come to Dalrada, I've been very delighted with the people here. It's home away from home. It's a great group of people here. But I'm extremely thankful for the God of heaven for this time that we do have together. When I was about 16 years old, I sat in my room one night, and I thought about the course of my life and where I was going. I'm not taking Michael's sermon from this morning, but I really did. I thought about some things, and I wept bitterly. My great-grandmother had been admitted to the hospital. We didn't know how long she had to live. My sister was upset. My parents were upset. We all were a little frightened by that. For years and years, I have grown up in the congregation of the Lord's people. I knew the right things. I knew the right orders. I knew all the things that I need to know to be a mature man of God. But one thing I did lack, and that was a relationship. I lacked the zeal. I lacked the love that I should have had for God. I learned that week that life was pretty short. That was 4 years ago. My great-grandmother still is with us, and she just had her 88th birthday. But praise be to God for that night. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 90, verse 10, "The days of our lives are 70 years, but by reason of strength there are 80. Yet its boast is in labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Life is so short. Tonight we can ask Brother James about life, and he would tell us that life is like a vapor that appears yet for a moment, then vanishes away. Or we can ask suffering Job about life, and he'll say that man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble, Job 14:1. Or we can ask David about it, and he'll say, "Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we that God, our Father, are mindful of us?" But because life is so short, we have a role to play. Divine commentary is given in Genesis chapter 5, verse 23, beginning there, the Bible says, "So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, for he was not, for God took him." I think about that phrase, "and Enoch walked with God." That would entail that Enoch perhaps obeyed God, but not only perhaps, but Enoch did obey God. That Enoch was in fellowship with God like people around him that were not. This is only chapter 5. Chapter 6, the thoughts and intents of man become evil but continuously. But verse 8 again, "But Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord." Tonight I ask, because life is so short, what's important to God's people? My lesson tonight is entitled, "Keeping the Main Things the Main Things," and I think we need to think about that sometime. What's important to God's people? If you have your Bibles, let's turn over to the book of Haggai. That's Haggai chapter 1, and we'll read this whole chapter for this discourse and exhortation tonight. As we're studying this verse tonight, keep two things in mind. First thing we need to keep in mind is how God has spoken in times past. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, the Bible says, "God, who in sumner times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, through whom he created the worlds." God has spoken by the words of the prophets in the days of old, but now we have the words of our King Jesus the Christ. But not only that, but the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15:4. Tonight, as we study this passage, I pray that we can all link our minds around this ideal of what's going on. Haggai chapter 1, verses 1, beginning there, the Bible says, "In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came into Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, speaking, this people say the time has not come to build that house of the Lord shall be built." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it not time for you yourselves to dwell in your padded houses, and this temple to lie in ruin? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have so much and brought in little. You eat much and have not enough. You drink, but you are not full with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it comes to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruin, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heaven above will hold the dew, and the earth will hold its fruit. For I call for a drought on the land, and on the mountain, and on the grain, and on the new wine, and the oil, and whatsoever the ground brings forth, on man and livestock, and all the labors of your hand. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet. And the Lord thy God has sent, the word of the Lord has sent, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, said to the Lord's message to the people, saying, "I'm with you, saith the Lord." So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the people that were, the spirit of all the remnant of the people. They came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. The situation is this. 536 B.C. or so, Cyrus gives a decree that all the people that were from Jerusalem can go back now to Jerusalem. They had been in Babylon for quite some time now, but now you can go back. There's a decree. But the purpose of them going back into the place of the holy city was to rebuild the temple of God. Haggai's prophecy comes about 520 B.C. or so. So for about 16-odd years, they had gotten their lives back together, but had one or few things lacking. I'm from Mobile, and I know about hurricanes a great bit, and I live about 5 minutes from the water. But there are houses around where I live that were destroyed in the last few hurricanes. I think if we would have waited 16 more years, I think those houses would still be in the same condition they were in before the hurricane. Everyone knows that when we have a house fire or a storm or something like that that comes in the way, what should you do? You should rebuild. You should go back and get everything back in order. But the people of God in that day and time rebuilt it, of course. They went back and they built their houses, and they probably went to build their shops, and they went about their day-to-day activity, and the house of God was in ways. Was it not important for the people of God to have a place to worship? Was it not important to God's people to have the presence of God dwelling in their land? Have they forgotten the commands of God? Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy strength. And these things which I have spoken to you this day, put on your heart. Have the people of God forgotten their motivation? Or what was their motivation at this time in the day of Haggai? I'm convinced that they were just like us oftentimes. The work of the church is important to us. The needs and the affairs of the church is very important. But my family needs me. It's 4:30 and the assembly starts at 7. And I have to get the children home by 6 and cook them dinner and leave the house by 7, by 6:40 to get here at 7. And we're so busy. Or perhaps the dinner's not going to be cooked tonight, and we're not going to worry about it, and we're just going to go get something else to eat. Where are our priorities? The woman just had a baby, and no one's there to aid with her, but I can't do anything. I'll just send a card and say, thank you, Can I see pictures in 6 months? Where are our minds at tonight? So now if we go back to the passage of Scripture, verses 2 beginning. Thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house shall be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it not time for you yourselves to dwell in your padded houses, and this house, my temple, lie in ruins? First, Haggai, by inspiration of God, rebukes the people. The house of God has not been built. You've been here for 16 years in idleness. What have you been doing for 16 years? Have you been building a name for yourself? Have you been aiding and trying to build yourself up so much to have nothing? We may remember the words of the wise man. I think about it this way, the words of the wise man. He says, vanity is of vanities. Vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. That's in the second verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. For 11 chapters, this wise man talks about the vain things in which he's done in his very own life. But towards the end, he learned something. Let's hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his command, for this is the whole of man. For every work, including the secret things, will be brought into the judgment, whether it be good or evil. Every work that we do will be brought into the judgment, whether it be good or evil. The rebuke for these things. Whosoever commits lawlessness commits sin, for sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3:4. That was an order by which the people of God would address God. The temple setting, the place where God dwelled, was in waste, and the people cared not enough about it. I'm sure they're just like us. I'm sure they're saying, well, I know that this family is having hard times, and we're going to pray for them, but we have to really go out of town this weekend, and we're going to try to get back with them next week. Or I'm sure the people saying, I wish that we can build that temple. I wish we had a place to worship, but you know, I have to go fishing today. I have to go to the golf course today. Perhaps those people had a mindset to go build a temple eventually. I'm convinced that they were waiting on a more convenient season like Felix. A more convenient time for them that wasn't in their time frame at that point. Perhaps the people of God made plans to build the temple. Perhaps they had drawn out floor plans and everything for the temple. They probably even made it a little nicer than it was before. Perhaps. But I do believe that the people of God lost sight of what was important. They didn't keep the main thing the main thing. Nothing more is important in this life than fellowship with the Most High God. That's the most important thing I could ever have. The fellowship with God is the most important thing that we can ever experience. And the people of God gave that up because of their selfishness. But verse 5, now therefore saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and brought in little. You eat and do not have enough. You drink and you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put in the back with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Haggai brings something to their mind. You're working. You're building your houses. You're living your life, and this 16 years has passed. But nothing you do is going to prosper until you give God what's his. Until we give the glory to God. Twice in that three-verse time span or so, God says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Ponder the thoughts of why you were sent back into the holy city. Was I the God of heaven not good enough to your ancestors when I delivered them out of the house of bondage? Was I the Lord not good enough when I fed them from heaven? Was I the Lord not good enough? Was I the Lord that softened the people's heart to let you go? Was I not that God? I think we need to consider our ways. It's easy for us to get in the mindset of someone else can do it or a more convenient season. But the people of God really had no time. There are about four prophets that had come to the people telling them to rebuild the temple. I'd like to believe that this meeting house was destroyed. I'd like to believe that we will rebuild it again. I'd like to believe that. But we don't have to. We don't. For God dwells among us. Yes, this place is important to me. Yes, this place is important to every one of you. Perhaps you may remember the day your wife walked down the aisle of this building. Or the first Sunday your baby was here with you in the assembly. You may remember those things, and those things are very important. Perhaps they may have remembered the first sacrifice they gave when they became of age. Perhaps they remembered some things about the temple life. And perhaps they longed to have a temple, but they were so lukewarm and so wishy-washy in their mind and so absent-minded that they forgot to do the thing which they were there in Jerusalem to do. Oftentimes in our lives, we, the people of God, we forget to do the things that we should do. Our Lord commanded us to go into all the world. That doesn't mean everyone should get on a plane and run to Africa or China. But our world around us, have we considered our ways? But not only consider your ways, but there's a consequence because you have not considered. Verse 9. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, you blew it away. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruin. Every one of you runs his own house. Therefore the heavens above withhold the dew and the earth within its fruit. For I called a drought upon the land and on the mountain and on the grain and on the new wine and on the oil and whatsoever things the ground bring forth on man or livestock or on all the labors of your hands. You're not going to prosper. You're not going to prosper. You may remember the offering of Cain and Abel of Genesis chapter 4. Do you know if you do well, thou would be accepted? If thou dost not do well, thou would not be accepted. And sin lies at your door, and this desire shall overtake you, but you shall rule over it. We need to understand that we can fight the ideas in our mind. We can give our minds to God, and we can say, God, control my will. God, let me be what you need me to be in your service. The consequence. I think about it. It would be a sad case to have a table full of food and eat it all and still not quench your hunger. It'd be pretty sad to have a house where you have air conditioning and the air doesn't come on the way you should think it should come on and you're still hot. What would you do? You'll call someone to fix it. But in our very own lives, and when we're empty-minded and when we're so down and out on our own things, we lose sight of what's important. We don't think about fixing it oftentimes. We think about, well, let me go a little farther and see how far I can go. I think we need a prodigal type moment. We need to come to ourselves and to say, God, I'm sorry. Not only am I sorry, but I want to repent and follow thee. In Matthew chapter 6, our Lord is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. And we always quote Matthew 6:33. We always do. Always. But we forget the passages in front of that. We forget that he said, don't worry about what you should wear, about what you should eat, about what you should drink, for I'll clothe these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Bible didn't say, go seeking after these things, and the kingdom of God shall be added unto you. No. The Bible said, you seek the kingdom, and these things, these wants, these desires, will be given over to you. We oftentimes think that possessions and money is the root of all evil, and it's not, but the love of there is. We need to remember that loving those things more than we love the God of heaven can turn us away from the God that loved us first. Consider, if you will, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wage of sin is death, But wait, there's more. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But lastly, verse 12, if you will. Then the Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet. And the Lord thy God has sent them, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai the Lord's messenger spoke to the Lord's message to the people, saying, I'm with you, saith the Lord. If you go up and do what I say, I'll be with you. There'll be grace extended to you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. It was grace and favor that God was going to give to those people. Just go up and build my house. Just go up and do what I say do, and you will be blessed. About that. We've been here for so long, we've forgotten. But grace has been extended. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, the Bible says, My little children, I write these things to you that you may not sin. For if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For he himself is the propitiation for our sins, but not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. For he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commands, a liar, and the truth is not in him. Yes, you will sin, but you have an advocate. Tonight, do you know the advocate? Do you know King Jesus the Christ? The one that hung, bled, and died for you. Tonight, for us to keep the main things to main things, you must remember this. We must set our mind on heavenly things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affections on things above and not on things of this world. Not only that, we need to be about the business of doing God's will. Remember, our Lord is speaking to his apostles in John chapter 4, verse 34. And he says, My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to complete his work. But lastly, we need to focus on Jesus the Christ, the man that hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross for our sins, the man that came down to dwell in flesh among us and knew no sin, the Messiah. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one would die, but perhaps for a good man one would dare to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise be to God. What if Jesus' mission got blindsided by things that was so small and petty? What if our Lord worried more about things like we oftentimes worry about? We know our Lord was a carpenter. What if he was building more houses and teaching people about the saving grace of his Father? What if he didn't want to go to the cross? What if he didn't go to the garden? What if he didn't go to the new tomb? What if he didn't resurrect? We must understand something. Life has its struggles. And life has its problems. But we as God's people have an anchor for the soul. We have hope. We have something to hold on to in the trying times in which we ourselves don't understand. And we need to keep those things that are important to us important. Tonight I want to ask you the question that Job asked in a time long ago. Who is the Almighty that we shall serve him? Who is he? Tonight, perhaps you're not a child of God and you need to come by faith, repenting of your sin, confessing the sweet name of King Jesus the Christ, being baptized to wash away your sins. Or perhaps you are a Christian tonight and you have gotten like the people in the book of Haggai. You've forgotten what was really important to you. I by no means am a prophet, but indeed I can say tonight that God wants to save you. For the grace of God that brings salvation hasn't appeared unto all men. Tonight, even you can be saved. Tonight, we encourage you to come as we stand to sing a song to encourage you.